and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller. We're here for the next couple of hours to talk sports with you. Appreciate you tuning in here this morning. Here's what's coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list. Bottom of the hour, Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal star off their bye. We'll check back in with what's going on over in Lincoln. They will host Indiana, you would think, that this will be a good opportunity for the Huskers to put one in the win column. But we'll do that, but more so, as much as anything, the pulse of what's going on and Sip's thoughts on the Big Ten West in particular. Lee Sterling's got thoughts on football. He will share them with us. He's got a handful of games that he will opine with us about, and then his play of the game, our play of the week, rather, that will be at the conclusion of that. In hour number two, going to go away from college football. Well, college basketball is practicing, but Rob Doster is going to be here. And the reason we wanted to have Doster on, him along with Jeff Goodman and the crew over there at the it's not the Field of 68?
Field of 68,
Field
yeah.
of 68. His new, not new, a year old now, probably a couple of years old, his basketball Twitter online media company. They've put out a competitor to the Blue Ribbon. They're calling it the Almanac, and it has been released, 814 pages, 1,300 words on every single team in college basketball. An ambitious endeavor, if there ever was one, and I believe that it is on sale now, and you can pre-order now. And if you're a basketball fan and maybe you've given up on the Blue Ribbon, something you had for years, got away from it for whatever reason, the Almanac may be a solution, an alternative solution to you. But Doster will join us coming up here at 11:05, and we'll get a couple of the teams that he thinks might be there in the end for those of us who like to bet futures. And we'll wrap it up with David Kaplan of Centurion Stone of Iowa, sponsors Cappy. He will join us at 11:30, talk a lot about the Bears, the White Sox seemingly waving the white flag, Tony La Russa not coming back. He is done. Miguel Cairo been told he will not get the gig. The Cubs are on a bit of a heater at the end of the season. So Cappy will wrap up the guest list, and then we'll give four of you an opportunity to win barbecue from Klaxons as we do that on Thursday about 11:50. How are you, TC?
Not too bad. Got to see the Judge home run last night. That was fun.
It was fun.
That fine Canadian lad need to get better hands, because he would have cashed in big time.
Ooh, baby, that cost him seven figures.
Did you, who was that in the bullpen for the Blue Jays that caught the ball?
You know who it was? It was the bullpen coach and her husband. No, his wife is an ESPN anchor that had a dispute with Sarah something. A lot of teeth. Really, pretty smile.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah.
Not clicking with me.
Sarah, the former ESPN.
But he tossed the ball away.
Ankeny.
Quickly.
Well, yeah, he gave it up. And Aaron Judge has it, and Aaron Judge's mom now has it.
Which is incredible.
Sarah Olson?
Not clicking with me.
Not clicking with you. Anyways, there was a big dispute. I think she was laid off when she was pregnant with twins.
Oh,
from SportsCenter when they had all. I think maybe it's when Hassel was part of the layoffs at ESPN. But it's her husband that caught it, a bullpen coach, so. Anyways, yeah, good to get it done. You could tell that the judge, I don't want to say pressing, but clearly starting to get to him a little bit. But glad that that is over. Unfortunately, the Yankees were able to prevail in the baseball game. Perfect world for me. Judge hits the home run.
Sarah Walsh.
Sarah Walsh. Thank you. Sarah Walsh. Got a lot of teeth, right?
Yes. And Matt Bushman is
that's her husband. Yeah, that's her husband.
Bullpen coach.
Yeah, that's her husband. Anyways, and she's doing something now, I think, for the NFL Network.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Anyways, yeah, but the race is over. Roger Maris's son, who had been following the team around when mm-hmm. they were in New York, and of course he was with us in or with them when they were in Toronto. He was there. Classy gesture.
Yeah.
I mean, just a pure class out of the Maris family, as one would hope to see, and that's what we saw last night. So now he's one away from holding the record by himself. A big deal to you? I know it's not to some people. It is to me. I know that Chris Hassel is one of the ones. Speaking of Hassel, mm-hmm. he doesn't think it's that big a deal because of all the interleague play now in the two leagues. There's DH in both leagues. I mean, I guess I can see his point to an extent, but baseball guards its records as close as anybody. So, anyways.
I've been into it the last week.
I have too.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting the way that certain guys have pitched mm-hmm. to him and walking around him and pitching around him and games that in the grand scheme of things maybe don't mean a whole lot. But it's one thing if you're Justin Verlander, and it's one thing if you're going to be a Hall of Famer. It's another one. Yeah, do you want to see that clip? I mean, how many times have we seen the Hank Aaron home run?
Yeah, right.
You know, do you want to be the guy that's showing on that clip time in and time out? You can understand that, yeah. I think, from a pitching perspective.
Yeah.
If you're an ace, if you're a guy that's out there, hey, let's go, big boy. Let's see what you got.
Mm-hmm.
But is that how you want to be remembered?
No.
Maybe not.
No. Although, it may be to some guys, you know.
Right.
Teach their own, I guess. But yeah. Judge will be remembered as the guy that at least tied Roger Maris. And I'm assuming he'll get by him at some point this weekend in all likelihood and settle on 62, 63 or whatever. Maybe take a couple of days off and get ready for the playoffs. Although, they'll get a rest. I mean, they get a bye, so they'll get a rest.
Were you surprised on Saturday as they had the cut-ins during college football, the ESPN properties?
You know, I never saw any cut-ins.
I didn't either. I think the biggest one was the Wake Forest-Clemson game.
Was that where they and that was ABC,
that
was it?
That was ABC.
Okay.
And that they were cutting it, and that's where at least I saw
We're
the
not allowed to talk about the ACC
no,
on this show.
Absolutely not.
My partner won't let us.
No, we can talk about it. Just don't think we need to lead with
it. I'm with you. I get it.
Yes.
So I didn't watch too much of that football. I saw the overtime.
Yeah.
Overtime was good.
And that's where they cut in, and that's where a lot of the blowback was coming. And you know, it's funny, I mentioned I listened to Jimmy Trina's podcast, sports media guy, really like him as a writer and just as a podcast host. He's funny and kind of sees things a lot like I do, so I really like him. But this one, he's also a Yankee fan. He's lived in New York his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why all this? Because if I'm a Clemson fan, I don't give two craps about Aaron. The other thing is ESPN, the two guys running ESPN right now are both Yankee fans.
Are they?
If this was
Mike Trout,
okay. Absolute great example, and he was with. Are they cutting in?
I want to believe they are.
I don't think so.
I
don't think there is a shot in the world.
So you got up early, made sure you packed the tinfoil hat in the car before you headed to work here today.
Well, I bring it every day.
Well, I know you do.
I don't think there is a way in the world, if it's anybody short of the Yankees, maybe the Red Sox, a player going for that record, that they're cutting, again, college football. What's the marriage between...
Now, I'll give you Vladdy Guerrero and the Toronto Blue Jays.
Sure, absolutely. Another example.
And
Byron Buxton, if he could actually play 162 games.
Well, yeah.
They're not cutting it for Byron Buxton going for number 61 to Wake Forest Clemson. It's just not happening. It is. Now, Aaron Judge is also not just a Yankee. He's a larger-than-life figure.
Yeah, he's one of the faces of the game.
He's a great story, and that goes hand-in-hand with it. I get that part of it, but I don't think there is a team out of the 29 other Major League Baseball teams that gets a cut in during Clemson Wake Forest outside the
Dodgers?
Yankees. No.
You don't think so?
No.
That's going for something?
No. Absolutely not.
Well, we'll never know.
We'll never know. That is
and it would never happen for the Dodgers because, Ken, after all, they're in the National League, you dope.
Different record.
Right. It would be a different record. That would be in the 70s.
Jose Ramirez, we're going to go as he approaches 61.
Yeah.
No chance.
Doesn't have the ring to it, does
no.
it? Anyways, it's over. Watched it last night. Was watching the Yes Network. Heard the John Sterling call. Heard, obviously, Michael Kay's call when it was happening. I was flipping back and forth, and it was live. I was there for the, I wanted to make sure I was there for Judge's at-bats because I was invested all week long in it and didn't want to miss it. I watched more Cubs last night than I should have, just knowing that's probably the last Cubs game I'm going to watch for the year.
Oh, yeah, because we're getting now to football.
Watching Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We get to Tuesday, Wednesday next week.
Maybe, but I want to watch if there's where are the Mets playing, where are the Braves playing? Because that's basically all we've got left.
Right.
Maybe a wild card positioning.
Could be Brewers and working for that final wild card spot. That could be a possibility.
Although the Cubs are doing the Brewers a favor because they've knocked off the Phillies back-to-back nights now. And this kid Wisniewski, who they got in the Efrost trade from the Yankees, they got something there. He came here to downtown Des Moines. His first start, he got rocked.
Yes.
He got shelled.
I remember that, yeah.
And then whatever happened, it means...
Something clicked. Whew,
and up to the bigs he goes, and he's been phenomenal.
Brew Crew, just a half game back now in the wild card.
Are they? They can't win 90 games, though.
Oh, that's what you're rooting against.
Yeah.
Well, they can. They have to win their last seven games
to
get there. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Speaking of a chance, we got this little nugget yesterday. So a couple of things, sports betting related. And again, if you listen to the show, there's sports betting is going to be a part of it.
Yes.
We get criticized for it, not as much as we used to.
Nope.
But we're going to claim the sports betting real estate in this station. Fair to say?
Absolutely.
So we taped Mike Palm from Circa yesterday. He came up with a couple of things that that I think we need to pass on to the audience. One of it's pursuant to Sunday Night Football. And when it comes to the Chiefs and Tampa Bay, and if that game can't be played, and you've bet on that game, when the line comes out, you thought this is a bad line, I'm jumping all over it. Well, his point was make sure you know your house rules wherever you're betting. And it's probably a good idea to do that regardless if there's a pending circumstance that may cause you to go to the house rules. But read the DraftKings, read the Bet Rivers, read the Bet Freds, who read the FanDuels. But what Palm told us was, if the game is moved to within, do we say 100 miles?
Has to be within 100 miles of the scheduled place that the game was scheduled.
Right. So if Tampa Bay, the game's moved to Miami, the bets are off. If the game is not played within 24 hours
yes.
of the scheduled kickoff, so meaning it's 3:50. What time is it scheduled for? 7:20.
Yes.
So Monday Night Football would get it if they moved it back to Monday.
And if they did that early start like they did during 2020.
During the pandemic.
And it's like a 5 o'clock start, you're good.
Do you remember Tuesday football during the pandemic?
That was wild.
It really was. Steelers were played a Tuesday game, didn't they? Didn't the Steelers play a Tuesday game?
I want to say the Bills were in one. Was it maybe Steelers-Bills?
It might have been Steelers-Bills.
Yeah. I thought the Titans were involved with one of them. I'll just stretch out that football week a little longer.
No, that was great. The circumstances why we got Tuesday football kind of sucked. I'll say kind of sucked. But Tuesday football. So they can do this quickly. But point being to where we were, you might think that the game's played in Miami and you cash your whoever side you're on. But since the game was moved more than 100 miles from the original location of the scheduled game, your ticket's refunded. Mm-hmm. Likewise, if it's played less, there are more than 24 hours from the scheduled kickoff, it's refunded. So check your house rules when it comes to these things. The other thing he said to us, and this doesn't involve many of you, but I think it's something that I've been doing a lot of thinking about. You haven't because you're still alive and survivor. But all of the two-thirds of the contestants that ponied up their $1,000 per entry and very quickly were sent to the sidelines.
Well, and some put in three entries, so that's $3,000 that they put into the kitty
pants. Did you get a lot of sleep last night or something? Kids go to bed early?
No, not really. I was up late last night.
So, but anyways, yes, so in our case, we put in three. There's going to be something they're calling Circa Redemption. And he wouldn't tell us anymore. But he's going to join us tomorrow, and hopefully by then the cat will be out of the bag, because I'm anxious to see what it is.
The one concern that Mike mentioned about that is, putting first, the
we
redemption
asked him
part.
If you could buy in.
Right.
Have you guys done any thinking regards to, is your, buy back in? You get knocked out in week one, can you, instead of $1,000, it's two, can you get back into the pool?
Or even creating a new contest, a second chance contest, if you will, with a new set. Well, we went out there in August. Yeah. You have to sign up in person.
Right.
We were not alone. Of those 6,100 entries,
the majority.
How many of them came from outside of Nevada?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess a ton. And then you have to set up your proxy. And you have this process that you have to go through.
And you have to do it all again.
And you flying out there to sign up for the contest again?
No.
If you don't have a schedule, you have a week and a half to
kind of
figure it out.
And don't have a guaranteed $6 million pool?
Right.
Probably not.
Because they don't know what the buyback would even be. So it's been talked about. But for the people, and I've heard the same thing, hey, is there going to be a second chance contest?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like that.
But there's going to be something. We'll find out tomorrow when Mike Palm joins us, and we'll be doing our show tomorrow from the Wild Rose Casino in Clinton, Iowa.
Yeah, Eastern Iowa peeps that give us a listen. We'll be watching the Thursday night football game. We have dinner at 7, so we'll probably get there for the second half to the sports.
You have dinner at 7.
Yeah, so breaking news here. You are such a goofball. I mean, you are as strict to your routine as anybody I have ever met. Remember, I worked with special needs kids that...
I'm not laughing at them. I'm laughing that you're kind of lumping me in with...
Very routine. I mean, routine-based, doing everything the exact same way, the same day. I mean, that was a big, big part of my teaching career, is going through those routines. And I've never seen anybody like you. We are having a steak dinner tonight at 7 o'clock, being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to Bette Rivers for that. But you're not going to eat it. This is what you tell me right after we taped TV yesterday. You're going to put it in a box.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to be eating. You're still going to sit there, right?
Of course. I'm social.
but you're not going to eat your steak.
I don't want to eat at 7 o'clock. Trent, you ruin a good buzz when you eat. This is the whole thing that's behind it, right? Why would I ruin a buzz?
This is what it is?
Yes, I never understood Thanksgiving. You know, everybody wants to eat at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then what do you do? You lay around and you unbutton your pants because you ate too much?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to eat at 10 o'clock. I'm going to experience the whole day. And I'm going to have fun tonight. I'm just not going to eat with you.
Just not going to eat. So you're going to be sitting there. Everybody's going to be enjoying your steak, and you're going
to
ask for
a
doggy bag.
Yeah.
You're going to take it upstairs, and then you're going to get up to your room.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to microwave it?
Yep.
What if there's not a microwave in the room?
Then I'll eat it cold.
Such a weirdo. I don't get it.
Have a couple of beers with the crew.
Yes.
The old man's going to retire early because I'll guarantee I'm the oldest going to be there. And
yeah.
I'm going to be heading to the room before you, young whippersnappers.
Oh, I got a
one-on-one. You'll be down the casino, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely. Going to be throwing some dice tonight. Flint and I think, are going to play a one-on-one cups game. I mean, we got all kinds of things.
Now, what is that?
Cups is the game where you chug your beer.
Yeah.
You use a plastic cup.
Yeah.
And you flip it on the table so it lands the other side down. Now,
okay.
Usually play with teams. You got four or five people on a team. Everybody goes through, slam your beer, you flip it over, lands face down, the next person goes, chugs their beer, first team to get done wins, and you play best 4 out of 7, something like that.
And then this is fun.
Oh, it's absolutely fun.
Okay, all right.
It's a way to get beer down really quickly. I mean, it's a great way, and then...
You just couldn't do it on your own?
Oh, no, if you get down in the cups match, then you start chanting full cups, and you get the other team a little nervous. I mean, I played this game for a long,
long
time.
So there's a strategy behind this.
Oh, there's a strategy. And if you're a stud like me, I mean, you're a one flipper. I mean, it doesn't take multiple flips. You just chug your beer, one mm-hmm. flip.
So you're known for this,
oh,
apparently.
Absolutely.
Right.
In fact, I had...
Would you call yourself a ringer if you're on a team? Do you want Condon?
There was a time in my 20s where my uh-huh. nickname was Cups.
It was Cups
because I'm that good at this game. So, Flint, you better be ready tonight. Calling you out.
And what time are you getting over there? 6:30?
6:15, 6:30. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got a dentist appointment with the kids this afternoon, so got to get them over for that. And then afterwards, hit the road over on 80 and that lovely drive.
Oh, just
yelling at semis.
It's worse coming home.
Oh, yeah.
It's worse coming back to Des Moines, I think. Going east, not so bad. But coming back is just brutal. Anyways, I'm looking forward to it. I've been over to the Wild Rose Clinton one other time.
Oh,
never stayed there. Yep, never stayed there. But we're going to stay. I guess they've done a whole bunch of renovations with the mm-hmm. property, so anxious to see it.
That'll be great.
Yeah, and again, thank you to Wild Rose and mm-hmm. and obviously to Bet Rivers. So baseball from last night, Braves... let one get away. Meanwhile, the Mets put one in the win column. Is this really down the stretch? What else is there to watch for, right? Positioning?
Yeah.
The wild cards?
Milwaukee.
You mentioned the Brewers. They're gasping, but they're still very much in contention.
I got over there yesterday because of the Cardinals clinching also. I went against my theory with the Yankees, and that was a winner. And I was going to bet the Brewers. I ultimately didn't, but I flipped over there a couple of different times and watched the broadcast. And I fell into the trap as you. I watched a little Twins White Sox
did
last
you?
Night.
Yeah.
And
they were down early. The White Sox got up to a lead.
You brought up a good reason, though. We still got something on.
We do.
And what happens? All right. So you got your bet. It gets to the last game of the regular season.
Uh-huh.
78.5, and say they have 78 wins. Are you hedging on the other
yes,
side?
Yeah. I think so.
You know buying
what else
out
I'm doing?
Bit.
Speaking of buying out, I'm thinking of buying out of my Chargers tickets.
Rashawn Slater. I've tried to tell you since July.
Yeah, but this was before the injuries hit. I mean, you were. I get it what you're saying. It's the Chargers
yes.
you're betting on, you fool. You see the same movie every single year, but you keep going back for more. Just a snake bit franchise.
Right.
Talented as anybody, I think, but they're just freaking snake bit. Do you have an opinion tonight? I think this got a chance to be a really good football game.
I jumped aboard at 3.5 right away on Cincinnati. Speaking of betting, also, DraftKings has their Get Up 7 prop where you bet the money line. Mm. I did that also on Cincinnati. And,
where they put the money
there.
In your account instantly.
Yes. Yep. So even if Miami comes back and wins, if Cincinnati right. leads by 7 at any point.
So 7-0 after the first drive, your yep. money's in your account.
Yep. So I jumped aboard with that also. Cincinnati, though I bet them not to make the playoffs this year, they've had some hard luck those
yeah.
first 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're cruising. What's Miami? After getting that win against Buffalo, how
well,
important
that's just
that
it,
was.
Trent. Totally agree. Let
the Tua
City.
Question, mm-hmm. How he is health-wise. Mm-hmm. He's not alone, right? There's another guy banged up, I want to say, mm-hmm. on that offense. And the running game has not been great at this point. I mean, there's a lot pointing Cincinnati's way for this one. So I'm going to jump aboard. In fact, speaking of that, speaking of contest, I'm thinking about putting my 5 picks this week for Million. I'm thinking about putting Cincinnati in there and having to get my entry in, obviously, today in order to make that happen. They're on my list. I got about seven games that I have circled right now. Uh-huh. That one's on my list. So this is one of my
I like Cincy
top
too, Trent, which is ooh, not dangerous. Good news for you.
Oh, great.
Because I think Cincinnati's the right side tonight. A couple of college games, BYU and Utah State. What's the other one? South Carolina, and who do they play? They play
South Carolina State.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
PU.
Yeah.
No thanks. Anyways, we'll take a time out. We'll talk some Big Ten with our friend Stephen M. Sipple from On3 Media. He covers the Huskers over there. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about the coaching carousel, etc. With Sipple, we'll also pick his brain on the Big Ten West. As we take you until noon, Klaxon still to come. We will include the Dolphins and the Bengals game tonight in the Klaxon's giveaway. Again, if you haven't played in 30 days, you're eligible to do so. Klaxon's Barbecue, 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. That's coming up at about 11:50. Underway on a Thursday, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
6.
It's time for Sip. Stephen M. Sipple talks with myself and Ken on Nebraska football.
I mean, I have a radio show. We have callers. I pay attention to my Twitter notifications and all that. There's definitely some frustration.
We talk Cornhuskers, and you never know what else is going to come up. With 30 years on the Nebraska beat, here's Stephen M. Sipple.
As long as they're paying me to talk, I'm just going to keep doing it.
All right, 10:30 on a Thursday, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Welcome back. Lee Sterling coming up here in about 20 minutes or thereabouts. Let's get our friend from On3 Media, Stephen M. Sipple. Huskers coming off a bye. It started well against Oklahoma. It didn't last much. But Indiana homecoming over there, Memorial Stadium, sellout again for this one, at least one would assume. And Sip joins us. Sip, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, Stephen M.?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. Was it a longer than normal bye week, just with everything that's, you know, the uncertainty to the coaching staff, the fact that Oklahoma came in and laid a licking on them, etc.? Was it a longer than normal, Sip?
That's a good question. Not really. They needed it. You know, they fired their head coach on September 11th. Nebraska's interim coach fired the defensive coordinator the next week, so it's been rocky. You can tell I'm struggling for words because I've never seen all this at Nebraska, not in September. I've never seen it in September. It's been awfully tumultuous around here for, you know, 20 years or so.
Jeez.
It hasn't been like this in September. So, yeah, we're dealing with a different kind of animal over here than we're used to.
Sip, Ken mentioned a sellout, but there's tickets available, I believe, for what? Every remaining home game still on the slate. I saw there was a 3,000-4,000, I think, for one of those games here. We know about the long sellout streak. We know about Runza putting up the money many times to make that sellout streak continue. What's the likelihood that the sellout streak comes to an end this season, or is it just too important to the fan base and to businesses inside Nebraska that they're going to keep this thing alive come hell or high water?
That's a good question. They did sell out this Saturday's game. Trev Alberts, the AD, announced that on Tuesday night. So it is sold out. But he has portrayed it as a week-by-week conversation, and that's the way I regard it. I think to your wisdom, Trent, I do think it'll continue because Trev mentioned the other night that, you know, what happens is the ticket manager gets calls from people who will say, okay, what's it take here? What do we got to do? You know, what do we got to do to keep this thing going? How many do we got to buy? You know, there's people that are willing to step up. I mean, it's not just corporations. There's individuals that are, you know, moneyed enough to buy up what's necessary. So I think it will continue. I do think it will continue. I think it could get tough. All right. If they would lose to Indiana and then lose both of the next two games, which are on the road, one at Rutgers, one at Purdue, then there's a bye week. You know, there's a bye week after that. So the next time Nebraska plays on its home field would be, that would be Illinois. I don't know. I mean, I think it could get dicey there.
Sip, why does that, and excuse my ignorance, but why does it mean so much to keep it going?
Oh, I don't think it's an ignorant question at all. It's become a divisive topic.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah, it's divisive. And I happen to fall under the, you know what? I'm going to pull over. I feel so strongly about this. I feel very strongly in that is an important part of Nebraska football, an important part of its tradition, And listen, we don't have much left here.
Mm-hmm.
That is in terms of defining traits. Okay. We don't, you guys have it. I mean, we talk about it over here. Iowa has there are defining traits. You can close your eyes, and there's certain things you know about the Iowa Hawkeyes. You know how they're going to play. You know, you have stability at the head coaching. You have stability at the head coaching position. You have a lot of things there. They're defining. We're running out. We're down to the nubs. I'm always amazed when people say, "I'll just let it go. The sellout streak. What's it matter?" I think it matters greatly. It's symbolic. Mm-hmm. I think it's it is emblematic of an incredibly loyal fan base. Incredibly loyal. There's nowhere in the world. I don't care if you're talking soccer, NFL, anything that would continue to sell out a stadium for the level of losing that Nebraska's endured here and the level of play. I mean, the plays dropped to a pretty startling level. So I don't know. I said when I think I probably came on your show and said, 'cause I was saying it to everybody, when they fired Frank Stolich in 2003, I said, you better get ready. If that door keeps spinning, that door to the coach's office keeps spinning, pretty soon you'll be left with something you don't recognize. And
here you are.
And you know what? You won't be much different than Purdue. Only the problem with that now is Purdue's better than you. I mean, so yeah, it's gotten scary. I say that thing's really important.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking with Stephen M. Sipple as we take a look at Nebraska's Indiana this week. There are no easy opponents, but with the bye week here, you know, Bruce Feldman, he was talking about the lack of tackling that was happening in practice throughout the whole tenure of Scott Frost. Trying to big back physicality, looked at for it to happen in 6 days with the regime change going into the Oklahoma game, just not likely. But what has been the work here with the bye week here, and how confident do they feel like they can still have at least a decent season?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to gauge the kids. They can't be very confident. I'm not gonna come on and say, oh, I think they're pretty confident. I haven't seen that. I mean, in fact, I thought after Northwestern that was a big setback for this program. That trip to Ireland and losing to Northwestern. I'm telling you, I hadn't seen a reaction to a loss like that. I don't know. I can't even remember the last time I saw a reaction to a loss like that. That was, Nebraska was jolted by that loss. I mean, it was visible, very, very visible. I saw it, for instance. So you're saying, what are you talking about? Well, one of the captains, you know, did his press obligation in Ireland after the game, right after the game, after they lost to Northwestern, gave up 528 yards. And he was talking about how, you know, I, as a captain, I have to keep the guy's head up. You can see right now I'm really struggling with that myself. And then he would say later in the week that it took him till Wednesday of the following week to get over that loss. Mm. That was team captain Garrett Nelson. I ran into Eric Chenander, the defensive coordinator, the Tuesday after that loss in Ireland. Now, that was August 27th when they lost that game. I ran into him on Tuesday just by chance outside the stadium. And I immediately called one of my colleagues and said, they're in trouble. And he said, why? I said, there's Chenander, the defensive coordinator. He's got legitimate fear in his eyes. You know, we were just small talking. And I said, you think this is going to be all right? I mean, he couldn't really answer it. And I've been covering Nebraska athletics for 30 years. I know when a coach is scared. And when a coach is scared, it's trouble. And I saw legitimate fear. I don't think he had any answers, and he knew what they were up against. That was after the first game, okay? Now, what you've seen since is utter disaster. You saw a 16-play drive against, North Dakota went on a 16-play drive. Georgia Southern put up 642 yards. Oklahoma could have named the score. They won 49-14, but only because Brent Venables is a gentleman. I mean, he could have named it. So, yeah, I mean, that fear was real. I always remember because I think I was talking to a guy who knew he didn't have any answers. And that's trouble. That's trouble.
Indeed it is. So, Sip, your thoughts on the Big Ten West so far? We're seeing Minnesota kind of put their stamp on the West, at least at this point of the season. I think Illinois is better, and if it would have, should have, a couple of bad calls in that football game against Indiana, ironically, and that should have gone their way, in my opinion. Purdue, I mean, O'Connell's hurt, but they're good. Wisconsin seemingly is down a little bit. Your thoughts on the Big Ten West?
Big game for Minnesota this week against Purdue. I mean, a lot of people are really – I mean, Minnesota's riding that kind of wave of positive publicity right now after what they did to Michigan State. They deserve it, but are they real? I mean, how real are they? Well, this is the kind of game you find out, right?
Yeah.
You have that big surge of energy in the program after going to East Lansing and dominating the game. Now, what's it look like now? I mean, they're a 12-point favorite at Purdue. A real, like a legitimate top 25, top 20, top 15 team takes care of that pretty easily, I think. If they're what we, if Minnesota's what a lot of people seem to think, Purdue shouldn't be a big problem for them. So I'm really interested in that game. I'm obviously fascinated. The game I'll be watching is Michigan and Iowa. That's the game I'm most interested in. Is Michigan real? And I think, you have to go into Kinnick against I think it's a tough defense. I respect, maybe I just haven't seen him enough to disrespect him this year. I'm very interested in that, especially in the context of Michigan really having to work hard to beat Maryland. And I don't say that. I mean, I think that's more about Maryland being pretty good.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's more about Maryland. Maryland's pretty good. So, yeah, there's a lot I'm interested in. I'd say Iowa and Michigan I'm most interested in, but also I want to see what Minnesota looks like now.
Sip, final thing for me, and a look towards Martinez, what he did in the win against Oklahoma, a guy that it felt like there are a lot of people rooting for. You know, you hear more and more stories about him, not just a football player, but as a person. Good to see him have success. What was the takeaway from the Nebraska perspective and the fan base seeing him succeed at that level?
Well, I think largely people are cheering for him. It's odd, though. It's an odd conversation. I've told you guys that Adrian, now when you hear he's a good guy, I can't tell you what a good guy he is. That is as real a conversation as there'll ever be. I mean, Adrian, he's remarkable. He'll be a CEO for a major company. He'll do whatever he wants. He's that kind of guy. I just kind of take it to the base level. What a lot of people talk about, and what I was really impressed by, was his sheer acceleration again. We didn't see that kind of acceleration from Adrian. Well, I don't think he saw it. I mean, he last saw it in 2018 when he was a true freshman. And then they put a bunch of weight on him by design the next year, and it didn't go very well. And then he started getting hurt a lot. Playing through it because he's tougher than hell, but I hadn't seen that acceleration from him, and it was really interesting on the 3rd and 16 late in the game when he broke free for a 55-yard run and was smiling as he was running.
Nice.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were taken by it. He went through a lot here. It's like he says it. It's not it. Being the face of a program isn't for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and. He he knows firsthand, and I think it was for him, but it really tested him. The last thing I'd say is he's one of the most fascinating athletes I've ever covered because he's one of the most polarizing. And think about it. He's a very polarizing figure, one of the most polarizing figures I've ever covered, yet he's a very good guy. So usually if a guy's polarizing, it usually means he's kind of a jerk, right? Mm-hmm. Or has some traits that suggest that. There's nothing about Adrian that suggests jerk, or that he's ever done that suggests jerk, that he's ever said that suggests that. So it's interesting, but he's very polarizing.
Stephen M. Sipple, on 3 Media is where you can read him, Sean Callahan, the whole crew over there. I am a subscriber and read all your stuff, Sip. Appreciate what you guys are doing over there. We will talk to you in a week. Thank you, Stephen M.
I appreciate your support, guys, and I love coming on, so let's do it again. Take
Indeed
care.
We will, a week from today. Take care. Stephen M. Sipple from On 3 Media. Still weird not to say Lincoln Journal Star after he
was a long time.
Hung his shingle there for 30 years or whatever it was. We will talk to Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports next. He's a handicapper. He's got 5 games that he'll share his opinion on in his game of the week. That's coming up next as we take you until noon. Miller and Condon, it's a Thursday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.net.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. I was going to say, do you remember when this song came? You don't remember.
I don't remember.
I think it was in the 70s. So
oh,
you,
yeah.
Why
Graham
would you
Funk?
Remember?
Oh,
yeah. Boy, it was a popular tune. This was huge. And I think the album, Lee Sterling's old. Let me get him in here. Lee, Trent, and Ken. Do you remember when this album, wasn't it gold? Do you remember?
Who was the band?
Grand Funk, American Band.
Oh, Grand Funk Railroad, yeah. Actually, I saw them. They played it at one of the racetracks about 3 or 4 years ago. They actually still sounded good. Used to listen to that. I'm going to date myself when I used to go to the roller rink.
Yeah, hear you.
yeah, on a Saturday night. So
When they released it, I think the album, for some other reason, you could buy it. I don't know if it's a special version, but instead of being a black vinyl, whatever it is, it was gold vinyl. It was a pretty big deal. Anyways, that is.
I didn't buy the album, but love the song. So,
yeah,
I was more an Elton John fan.
Yeah, ditto.
Then, but. You know,
no, I saw him.
The best song, yeah. Always, like, if I had, like, you know, I was moving in on an attractive-looking a female, was Dreamweaver by Gary Wright.
I remember Dreamweaver, absolutely.
Yeah. Roller skating
that was, like,
well,
one of the
holding
last
hands.
Songs of the night, you know.
Bubblegum, Roland's, yeah.
There you go.
Were you able to roller skate backwards, Lee? I mean, I'm sure you had everything.
You could roller skate backwards, absolutely.
No, I couldn't.
Well, you
could, but I could go forward.
Let's go forward with picking some games, shall we? I'll get to the bottom of this. I thought you might know since you're kind of the same demo as I am. Trent, you want to start it off?
Yeah, let's kick things off.
The way, Lee is on fire.
Yes. Very, very good. The numbers have been incredible. Lee, you're continuing to pile them up. We got, of course, baseball playoffs, World Series right around the corner. It's not just football with Lee Sterling, but we got 5 games here. We'll talk a little bit more about that here at the end. Let's go in the Big Ten. Purdue, we await Aiden. What's going to happen at the quarterback position? Obviously, a huge part of the point spread against the Gophers, who that performance against Michigan State was a wow for me. Gophers laying 12.5.
It was. I don't know if they can duplicate it, but I think that they're playing at a high level, and I think they're going to continue to play well. Here's the caveat in this game. Minnesota, pace of play, bottom 5 in college football. So I could see them, you know, having a 17, 14-point lead or even a 10-point lead and just sitting on the ball in the fourth quarter. So I think that they're capable of winning the Big Ten West here. Weak schedule so far, but to me they pass the eye test. Tanner Morgan spreading the ball around here. 10 different receivers last week. Purdue still no defense at all. Good teams pass and run on them. And the injuries are piling up. I mean, they're beating up at the quarterback, running back, receiver position here. Favorite, 13-6 against the spread in the series. I think the Golden Gophers roll here 37-21.
All right, one of my favorite games of the week is a battle for maybe the top spot in the Big 12 when it's all said and done. We saw this in the championship last year. Baylor is a two-point favorite over Oklahoma State.
So Baylor emptied the tank last week, and we were on the right side of that game. I thought they'd be aggressive, and they were. They even had a couple trick plays, and that's what you have to do sometimes. You got to play to win, and I think they realize that. Now, they can't play conservative like they did against BYU. Oklahoma State, 22nd in yards per play on offense, but the Baylor defense, number 18 in yards per play allowed. I think it should negate that offense. Remember, Spencer Sanders last year tossed 7 interceptions in the 2 games versus Baylor. I don't think all of a sudden he's going to play a clean game here. I think Baylor's a better team. I think they passed the eye test. Spencer Sanders is going to have to play out of his mind for them to win the game. I like Baylor, 27-20.
The Cyclones go on the road down to undefeated Kansas, and we're not talking basketball. This is football. The Jayhawks have an offense, not much of a defense. Cyclones coming off a loss. They're laying a field goal.
Yeah, that's what concerns me a little bit, but Iowa State, those 2 late garbage touchdowns made the loss a lot closer to Baylor than it really was. They don't do any one thing really well. You know, or they don't have a weapon like a Breece Hall. They don't have a tight end like they've had in the last couple of years. It really scares you.
Hutchinson at receiver, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, he's played well.
Yep.
So Kansas, what they do really well is they run the football, number 8 in the country, number 7 passing attack here. And Iowa State 1-4 against the spread on the road. Amazing Kansas run. I think it's going to end, but not this weekend. Like Kansas, 35-30.
Interesting. Michigan is a 10.5 point favorite. They'll come to Kinnick Stadium. Hasn't gone well for top 5 teams at Kinnick in the past. Usually it's under the lights, but not exclusively. But here we are. How do you see the Wolverines and the Hawkeyes?
So Michigan didn't cover last week at Maryland. Thought it was the right side, but they did outstat Maryland. They averaged over 6 yards per carry and held Maryland to 3.8 yards per carry. They also won the turnover and sack advantage. They are strong. I mean, they don't have any real perceived weakness, and they have a game breaker, Blake Corum. He is a difference maker. If he gets in the open, it is good night, Irene, here. Michigan won the Big Ten title game 42-3 last year. Both teams, not that much different, except for the Iowa offense, I believe, has regressed. It's not going to be 42-3 again, but you look at the raw numbers in the eye test. Spencer Petras, 9-for-22 for 122 passing yards with no touchdowns, and they only ran for 3.2 yards per carry against Rutgers. Yikes. Michigan, if they turn the ball over 2 or 3 times, I think it comes right down to the wire. But I think Iowa without Johnson at receiver and also at linebacker James and Harris out in the secondary, I think it's going to be tough. Michigan, 27-10.
27-10. Give it the Hawkeyes 10.
Yep.
Well, that's maybe a step in the right direction.
Maybe five safeties, right?
Yeah, it's kind of trended that way. We finish up in the NFL. Tampa, Kansas City. We talked about this earlier. Also, if you're putting this bet in, make sure of your house rules. If this game is moved, if it's moved to Minneapolis, has been speculated about, that could change your bet.
The mayor this morning said she thinks it's going to be able to be played in Tampa.
So they're going to keep it there.
That's the latest I'm hearing also.
It's a field goal for Kansas City, another team coming off a loss.
Yeah, and a lot of people will just go, okay, with the theory that Kansas City, you know, off one bad game is going to come back here. But Tampa Bay is very similar to Indianapolis. They have a lot of veterans. They have a quarterback who I think it wasn't his fault last week they lost the game. He had no receivers. His receivers, the route running wasn't good, weren't holding on to the ball. He will get back Mike Evans. And also Julio Jones, it looks like, will play in this game. They have a physical running attack and also strong defense. Some of the same things the Colts had, they just do it better. I think Tampa Bay might have top 2-3 defense in the NFL here. I like Tampa Bay. Low-scoring game here. I would go with the under even better. It's 45. It's that low for a reason. But I also like Tampa. 20-17.
All right, Lee, you've been red hot. I think you were 9-2 last week. Your NFL picks have been off the charts. We've got an NFL game. It's your game of the week. It's early Sunday morning, 8:30 here, local time. If the folks want any more information and you're on a heater, Lee Sterling, how do they reach you?
Yeah, just call 800 400 9741. We'll give you the Minnesota New Orleans game on me. 800-400-9741. And last week we went 9-2 for the weekend. The week before 8-3. The week before that 6-3. We won 6 of the first 7 weeks since the start of the preseason. How about this special? Every game, we don't call it October, we call it Locktober. Through Monday, October 31st, 5 weeks of football, just $347. It's only $397. Use that coupon code SAVE50, just $347. We'll also throw in baseball through the World Series and our strong USC card on Saturday night. How do you get involved? Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, have a great week. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you next Thursday. Thanks, Sterling.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Locktober.
Locktober. I love Locktober.
Locktober. Remember Brocktober was a thing in Story County?
Will be a thing in San Francisco.
Ooh, second on the depth chart. There's Monday night, aren't they? Rams, Giants. I think so. Niners, Rams, Monday night, pretty sure. Hour 2. I'm sure it's next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.